station.
Well, hello, once again. It is 19:30 UTC, which means it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm the chairman of this committee. My name is Tobe, and I am walking around outdoors here at Heron Haven again, as usual, because that is, in fact, what I do. And I don't know, but this might be the last time we come here for a while, just because, oh, it's getting hot. It is almost maybe too hot for me to be out here today. I'm standing on the bocage looking for marmots. I see loose dirt. I can see where a mati has been digging. There is a mati doing mati stuff around here. But I don't see them. I do see some interesting mushrooms, though. What are those back there? Oh, I know what those are. Those are those same things that always grow there. I don't remember what they are. Probably some kind of caprinus. But from here, and I'm standing, 4 meters away from them, they kind of look like morels, but I know this is not morel season, and morels don't grow there. But there are a bunch of mushrooms that do grow back there. We are not going to investigate any further. Like I said, it is a warm day. It's about, is it pushing 80 degrees Fahrenheit? It could be. I think it is. But there's a breeze. It's quite windy, which is also detrimental to this radio show, but you might not be able to hear the wind right now because I'm in a lot of trees. As I walk into the forest here, what was I saying? As I walk into the forest here, the trees are a natural windbreak, and so you're not hearing any wind noise now, but you will. I really debated whether or not to come out here today or not. And in fact, when I first pulled into the parking lot, I saw all the cars. And then I turned around and left. And I drove up Manderson Street, sometimes known as Turkey Avenue. And yes, I did see 2 turkeys. So that was great. They were just standing around in somebody's front yard. Now we're going to get exposed to the wind. Get ready for some wind noise, for which I apologize ahead of time. Okay, so here we are at the crossroads. I think I'm going to go walk out through the cut here and see what's going on. See if we can see any dudage. See if we can see any mutties. What do I see? I don't think I'm seeing much of anything. No. No dudes. And wind. And I don't like the wind, and I do not like this heat. It's about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, or about, 25, 26, 27 degrees Celsius, somewhere in that range, and there are just boatloads of people here, so I'm turning around, and I'm walking out. We are not going to see any dudes here today. It's way too hot. I knew I should have stayed home, but I just had to get out. Had to get out of the house. Oh, I'm gonna be housebound for the next 3 months. I can just tell. Yay, it's gonna be super hot, so I never get to leave my house. That won't be fun. Or maybe it will. Maybe we'll find something to do. That reminds me, I do have plenty of stuff to work on. That reminds me of something else. Does this ever happen to you? Okay, so yesterday... Well, there's a little bit of backstory here. So, yesterday, I was searching around online for some stuff. I was looking around for some information and some electronics parts, okay? Because a few years ago, I had this idea for a device, an electronic thing that I feel like I needed to own, something that I felt like I needed to build. And I'm not really going to go into the details of what this device is or what it does, just because, I have my own reasons. And you can, guess what they are. Maybe this device isn't quite kosher. Perhaps it's something antisocial. And it is. And so yesterday I was bored and I thought, I'm going to work on this little project. I'm going to think about it and, do a little feasibility study here. See if I can pull this off. All right, I'm back at my car. I'll tell you the rest of the story. Ugh. When I get home in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. And here we are, back in the studio. And that just proves it. Ugh. Okay. So yesterday, I spent a lot of time online looking for a certain couple of electronic parts and some data that I would need and some other stupid stuff. And while I was looking for all of this information, I basically discovered that the device I want to make already exists. And whereas you can't really buy it off the shelf in places, there are people who are making these things. And I thought, oh, of course, I don't have original ideas anymore. And for a mere $60, I can buy something that I could modify to use for my purposes. And then, after, a couple more clicks on links here and there, I discovered, oh no, I can get a kit of all the parts I need. All the parts I need, plus already loaded with all the information I need, and I can just assemble this stuff, solder it together, add one or two additional parts, and boom, I've got the device that I need, just like that. And then all I need to do is throw it in a box, because I do love to box stuff up. I enjoy boxing. Not pugilistic boxing, but the actual process of putting things in boxes. And you know what I'm talking about. So, that's the good news. I got those parts. I got that kit. I got everything I need coming my way. And I'm going to be having fun with that soon. However long it takes to get shipped here. Probably be, sometime at the end of next week. Who knows? But that will be fun. Yes. Yes, it will. Okay, kids, it's game time. Yay, game time. Woohoo! Won't that be fun? I am fun. Yes, I am. Anyway, as you may know, because I've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, I've been working on a new game. And when I say game, I do in fact really only mean the game engine itself. So, I think it's time to share this before I do any more work on this. I have gotten ahead of myself, which is what has actually prompted me to explain the engine in its most basic form, so that you can play this at home. That's right, you can create your own game around this game engine, which I am now about to explain to you. And this game is highly adaptable, so you're just going to get the engine and you can add your own theme or your own fluff, your own story behind this little game. And what you'll need is some paper, some things to write with, and some kind of playing surface. Now, in my mind, I have just sort of been assuming that I would play this game on a hex mat or a large piece of hex paper, you know, with like 1-inch hexes. But in all reality, you can probably play this on just about anything. I mean, you could play it on little hex paper with pins as markers, or you could play it just on the tabletop and just measure distances in inches or centimeters or whatever your favorite unit of measurement is. Or you might be able to play this on a square grid. I don't know if it'll look as good and it might be a little confusing, but hell, you could even get a wooden plank and drill a bunch of holes in it in a triangular pattern and just play with little pegs or golf tees or something like that. So again, this is highly adaptable. But yeah, I guess I failed to mention it. You will also need some kind of playing pieces, whatever fits your theme. You could use actual miniatures, you could use pawns, you could use, it doesn't matter what you use, just, you know, whatever. You just use little squares of cardboard. But here's how it works. You have this playing surface, and what this playing surface represents is some kind of combat arena. This is an arena shooter type of game, and this isn't going to introduce to you any new concepts. This is some fairly common mechanics, and I did this on purpose. Usually my games, the games I create, tend to be pretty complicated, sometimes overly so, and so they're not fun for normal people. You know, if you like to play super complicated games, then you can complicate this up. And you might like some of the stuff I normally do, but we're keeping this one simple for a number of reasons. One, ease of play. Two, speed of play. And three, the ability to just have fun, get kids to do this because it's simple and just blah, blah, blah. Okay, so anyway, what you do is you give each player a piece of paper or an index card or something like that, and each player has three attributes. And those attributes are range, movement, and hit points. And if you're familiar with games, these should all be fairly obvious to you what these are all about, but I'll explain it in case somebody's not getting this. The range attribute is going to be how far your character can influence or shoot or cast a magic spell or whatever fits your theme. Movement is obviously how far your character can move. And if you're playing this on hexes, it can move blank many hexes or inches or whatever movement you're using, whatever, you know, map or board or playing surface you're using to fit your theme. That's what movement is, how far your guy can move. And the last attribute is hit points. Again, should be obvious, but this is how many hits, how much damage your character can take before he dies or regenerates or whatever fits your theme. Again, when I talk about this game, I'll probably say hexes a lot. So if I say, oh, and you move 3 hexes or you can shoot 5 hexes or whatever, just, you know, don't take that as being gospel. This is just, you know, how I'm thinking about it in my mind. If you're making a game and it's wizards combating, you know, just fill in the blanks however you need. So you have each player write down, you know, movement, range, and hit points on a piece of paper. And then you have to enumerate these attributes or give them values. And in some games, you know, this is random or you roll dice. But in this game, it's not. Basically, how do I explain this? Each person has some finite number of points, and you determine this at the beginning of the game or however it fits into your theme, but let's just say 20 or 21, okay? So everybody has 21 points that they can distribute among these attributes in any form they want. So if you're a real middle-of-the-road player, you could make your range 7 and your movement 7 and your hit points 7. And you're good to go because you used 21 points distributed between those three attributes. Or you could have your movement be 10 and your range 7 and your hit points 6 or whatever. Just so... Wait, does that add up to 21? Not doing the math in my head here. Okay, let's see. Movement 10, range 5, hit points 6. Yeah, that's 21. Okay, so you get the idea here. It's very simple. You do not, although you could, you know, okay, when I should really slow down. I cannot get these ideas out clear enough or fast enough. But anyway, obviously you don't want to leave your hit points at 0 because then you're already dead. And you could have a movement of 0, so you have a piece that doesn't move around, and that might work good for cannons or something like that. But you do not want to have a range of 0 because this is not really a melee combat game. This is sort of a missile combat game. So all players have weapons that, you know, travel a distance. So in your game, however you theme it up, you might want to use more or less total points for each player depending on a couple of factors. Most importantly, how big your little arena is. But let me just say that 20, 21, somewhere around there, that's just a good starting point. That's a good jumping off point. That'll give, if you're playing on a board that's, or on a, you know, playing surface, or a hex mat or hex paper that is, you know, 20 or 30 hexes or inches or whatever wide and deep, you know, you want to give the guys time to maneuver and do stuff. So 20 or 21 total points is a good place to start. So each player now has a character that has some attributes with values behind them, and now you're pretty much ready to play, and it should be fairly straightforward from here on out. Basically, you go around the table, you all take turns, and the first person plays by moving some amount of spaces up to his limit of movement. So, you know, if your movement value is 6, you can move up to 6 hexes or 6 inches or whatever. And then you can shoot if you're in range of some other player. And in the first couple turns, you're probably not going to be. And then you just go around the table taking turns doing this. Move, shoot, move, shoot. And at this time, I should probably say that you may want to make a rule that states that you can shoot at any point in your turn. Meaning, say your movement is 6, you could move 3 spaces and then shoot and then move another 3 spaces. And this is probably the best way to do it because you want to introduce some kind of terrain on your playing field, in your arena. And basically to do this, all you need to do is add some walls. Add some walls for players to hide behind, or other obstacles, boxes, it doesn't matter. Whatever fits your theme, you know, add this. Add something that blocks line of sight. You know, have things that your players can hide their characters behind. So, yeah, that's about it. And then, obviously, when you get to combat, it's fairly simple. There's no dice rolling or anything. If a character is in range of another character and that character decides, okay, I'm going to shoot that other guy, he's in range. He just states, okay, I'm shooting that guy. That guy is hit. He takes, you know, damage. He subtracts 1 from his hit point total. So every time somebody gets hit, their hit points go down until they get down to zero. And that character is dead, or whatever fits your theme. If you don't want to teach your kids violent games, oh, it's guns and shooting, then make it, you know, blowing kisses or whatever. It doesn't matter what the theme is. This will work for anything. Now, instead of a player being out of the game, basically they regenerate like a video game, say. And when a player dies or whatever, they can now recreate their character. And they can change their attributes. So if, you know, they had a movement of 7 and a range of 7 and hit points of 7, they can now change that. Give themselves a movement of 3 and a range of 13. And then, you know, 5 hit points or whatever adds up to 21 or whatever number of points you're using. And then they start over, and they just jump right back in. All the players who are still on the board stay on the board, and now you just got this guy who has regenerated. And if you want to make the regeneration interesting, you can give each player his own regeneration point, or if you want to make it a little bit more random, I would suggest numbering 5 hexes or areas on your game arena as and label them 1 through 5, and these will be random regeneration points. So once a character dies and the player, you know, reevaluates his character, he then rolls a single 6-sided die, and if he rolls 1 through 5, then that player's character regenerates on that specific regeneration point. They're numbered 1 through 5. So if the player rolls a 3, then his character regenerates at spawn point number 3, wherever that is. But if the player rolls a 6, then he has to wait until his next turn to try to regenerate on the board again. And that's why we only have 5 regeneration spots. So it adds a little bit of something. You don't know where the new players are going to pop up. And maybe they won't pop up for a couple turns. And that's basically it. That's the entire game engine. And you can add and subtract from this depending on, you know, what your particular theme is. You do not have to have the random regeneration. You could just have players regenerate in a single spot, or maybe each player has their own regeneration spot, or whatever. You could add other stuff to it. You could add teleportation spots on your map. Okay, if the player runs onto this hex, then they whoop, disappear, and they appear over here, whoop, or, you know, whatever. Another variation that you could add, if you can rationalize this in your theme, you could do inverse range damage. Okay, this is a fairly simple concept, but it takes a little bit to explain. Basically, the closer any character is to another when they shoot or whatever, the more damage they do. So the strength of their power or whatever depends on how close they are. And this might be appropriate for wizards who are casting, you know, fireball spells. And say they have a range of 6. If the opposing player's character is exactly 6 hexes or spaces away, then use the inverse for the amount of damage done. So if the opposing character is 6 hexes away, then the hit only does 1 damage, and the victim only takes away 1 hit point. If the opposing character is 5 hexes away,
then he takes two damage when he gets hit. When he's three hexes away, he takes three. When he's two hexes away, he takes five. And when he's one hex away, when he's standing right next to the guy that hit him, that does the most damage, and he takes 6 points of damage. Does it make sense? Yeah, sure. That changes the game dynamic up a little bit, you know. But it does make things more interesting, and it then makes range sort of a reflection of power. So if you have, you know, if you're getting in close, boom, you're doing good damage. But, you know, to get in close, you might have to make a couple of moves, and depending on what the other person's movement and range is, they're going to get some hits in on you before you can hit them with your big whammy. So this is a pretty decent little game engine for how simple it is. You can expand this and do all kinds of stuff with it. And everybody is sort of equal. Everybody's on the same footing. And everybody can distribute their little amount of points however they want to make their characters, you know, custom, right? And then when you die, the advantage to that is then you can redo your character. If somebody else's character seems a little strong against you, you can change yourself up. And then I guess you can just play this until you're bored. How do you end the game? How do you know who wins? Well, that's up to you, and how, whatever your theme is, whatever fits into your theme, you can play it that if somebody dies three or four times, then they're out, and whoever's left, it wins, or whoever, you know, scores the most hits wins, or it kind of doesn't matter. Or you can just play until you get bored, you know, it doesn't matter. Other victory conditions could be it depends on whatever your theme is. You don't need me to tell you anymore about, you know, how to do this. Just make up your own game using this engine as it stands. And I wouldn't make it any more complicated. I mean, don't mess with the engine, because, you know, I've thought about this long and hard, and it balances itself out. It will be self-correcting, and you won't run into any typical game problems like saddle points or anything of that nature. So that's all you need to do. Make yourself a game board. Again, get some hex paper. Get some 1-inch hex paper or a hex mat, or take a 1/4-inch hex paper to a photocopier and blow it up bigger. Just whatever, make a map. Add some walls, and this could be 3D walls. You could cut up some cardboard to make walls, or some foam or whatever. You could paint it up to look like a dungeon. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Do whatever fits in your theme, right? How much do I have to say it? What else? Yeah, and then just go to town. You can play this with miniatures. You can get a bunch of little wizards, and you can have wizard wars, and whenever you make up a character, you can make up, invent what your spell is. Oh, I have a staff that shoots lightning bolts, or I cast a spell called fireballs, or whatever. You can just go anywhere you want with this. And that's what I'm doing. I'm fleshing this out a little bit more for myself. And I don't know if I'm going to give you any of that information, but you don't need it. Not really. You have everything you need to create a game here with this game engine. Just remember, range, movement, and hit points. And I highly suggest being able to shoot at any time during your movement phase. That'll just make things a little bit more easy. So you can be hiding behind a wall, run out, you know, use like three of your movement points, run out three hexes, boom, take a shot at some other guy, and then run back behind the wall. It'll be fun. But it's time for me to say that you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day right here on and on radio at 1930 UTC. So tune in tomorrow. Who knows what we'll be doing? Talking about games, looking for marmots, I don't know, but I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes. Thank you.
風またウェルカム